Okay, we are ready to roll. Welcome, everybody. It's great to have such a full church this morning. Welcome if you're in Lockhart on the big screen. It's great that you guys made it down to the church. Welcome to Robbie, who's in hospital, who's joined us this morning as well. It's wonderful what technology does for us. Psalm 105 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful deeds, wonderful acts. Glory in his name, holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always." That's what we do this morning. We come to give thanks. We come to reflect on our week. You may have had a really exciting week. You may have had a really dull week or a hard week. But whatever you've had this week, we come to seek the Lord and to seek his strength, to be reminded of his holiness and to glory in his name together. So let's do that this morning. Our first song this morning is 10,000 Reasons. It gives us all the reasons why we need to praise God and why we should praise God. If you're on the songbook, we're on page number one, the very first song in the songbook. 10,000 Reasons, let's bless the Lord together.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening dawns. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy. Like never before, oh.
First reading this morning is from Proverbs 25:1-28. If you're in the church here in Henty, page 660. Proverbs 25:1-28. And Neil's going to read that for us this morning. Thanks, Neil.
These are more Proverbs of Solomon, copied by the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. As the heavens are high and the earth is deep, so the hearts of kings are unsearchable. Remove the dross from the silver, and out comes material for the silversmith. Remove the wicked from the king's presence, and his throne will be established through righteousness. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence. Do not claim a place among great men. It is better for him to say to you, "Come up here," than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman. What you've seen with your eyes, do not bring hastily to court. For what will you do in the end if your neighbor puts you to shame? If you argue your case with a neighbor, do not betray another man's confidence. Or he who hears it may shame you, and you will never lose your bad reputation. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. Like the coolness of snow at harvest time is the trustworthy message of those who sent him. He refreshes the spirit of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of gifts he does not give. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it, and you will vomit. Seldom set your foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and he will hate you. Like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is a man who gives false testimony against his neighbor. Like a bad tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in time of trouble. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. As the north wind brings rain, so a sly tongue brings angry looks. Better to live in the corner of a house than to share a house. Corner off the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. Like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way to the wicked. It is not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to seek one's own honor. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control.
Let me lead us in prayer. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have made. We thank you. This is a day that you have made that we can rejoice in it and be glad in it as well. Father, every time we look outside and we see days like today, and we're just reminded of the great God that you are. Lord, the skies and the heaven proclaim your glory and your majesty. Father, we thank you that you've called us together, and we thank you that we can meet together. We thank you that we can lift our eyes to you and be reminded of the great God that we worship and the great God that we serve. Father, you are indeed worthy of praise. And this morning we praise you for your faithfulness, for your patience with us. Lord, we praise you for your grace, for your love, for being there for us. We thank you that we can talk to you. Father, we thank you that you are a God who cares for us and loves us and provides for us. Father, we do come this morning seeking forgiveness for the things that we have done against you, for the times where we have lacked self-control, for the times we have boasted about how good we are rather than about how great you are. Father, for the times where we have been quick with our tongue. Father, for the times where we have used our tongue against our neighbour and not loved them. Father, forgive us for the times where we've seen people in need and failed to give them a drink or failed to give them something to eat. Father, we thank you that you are indeed the source of all wisdom. And we thank you that you have shown us your wisdom in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we pray this morning that you might keep us humble, that we might humble ourselves before you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and took on the appearance of a man, came as a man into this earth to die for us. Father, we are undeserving of forgiveness, but we thank you that you freely grant it. And so we pray this morning that you might remind us once again of the costly sacrifice of your dear Son. And it's in his name we pray and ask these things. Amen. We have some announcements for this morning. John, if you're out there, happy 80th birthday to you. We hope you had a good day with your family yesterday. Big 8-0. I remember when I was in Sydney, the golf course up the road, they had this rule that says if your handicap and your age is over 100, you get special privileges. Well, John, you're up to 80, so you get lots of special privileges if you play golf up there. But happy birthday to you, and we pray God's blessing upon you as well. This week, ladies, there's no ladies' Bible study. So, ladies, you've got a week off. Men, this is our chance to catch up. So, we're going to meet at 7:30 on Thursday and Greenhouse 7 o'clock on Friday. There's been no changes to any of the restrictions. So, we'll be doing what we're doing today down in Henty next week. And over in Lockhart, it's great that you guys are meeting down in the building over there, and encourage you to continue to do that. And that will happen next week, and there's no changes to any of the restrictions. On Saturday, we're going to have our regular monthly prayer meeting, 8 to 9 a.m. Two options to get involved. First is you can log in online and you can join in and pray with us online. The second option is you can come to the manse. If you're one of these people who like to pray with other people, you can come to the manse. If you do want to come to the manse, let us know, because we just need to set up some technical stuff in the manse. So if you want to come to the manse, just let me know so we can set all that up. Otherwise, join in online, and the prayer points and the details will be sent out during the week. Okay, the kids have all gone out, which means Troy, Amanda and Anthony. Well done, and being brave for sitting in the front row. All right, let me quickly run through the kids' talk. Okay, what's the way to? Next slide. Troy, you still study? How do you get success in exams? Yes, you do. Correct. You study hard. All right. Next slide. What's the way to be a tennis champion? Anthony, Amanda, you guys are into tennis. What's the trick to being a champion tennis player? Practice. Oh, that'd be a good answer. There we go. Lots and lots of practice. Okay, next slide. Here's a more serious question. What's the way, next slide, to be number one in the kingdom of God? How do you become number one in the kingdom of God? And the answer is, next slide, it's not what we expect, was it? It's humility. What's humility? Humility is the opposite of pride. Pride is a sense of our own value. Humility is the opposite of that. It's being modest about our own accomplishments. And what we know, next slide, is that in God's kingdom, the way up is actually the way down. It's counterintuitive to what we actually think. And we know that because, next slide, Jesus actually showed us the way up. He actually came down to us and served us. Next slide. As Mark 10 tells us, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus humbled himself for us and showed us that that is the way to greatness in the kingdom of God. Is there another slide? Yep. And he took on all our sins for us. Okay, next slide. Here we go. All right, Jamie's hovering at the back, so he's going to take you outside for your activities, and we'll see you at morning tea time. Okay.
This pack up, because John and Connie just joined, say they missed it before.
Oh, they missed it. Okay. Happy birthday, John. Okay. Amy, where are we up to now? You've lost me. Yep. If you've got your Bibles in, I'd like to open up to Psalm 75. This morning we are talking about humility and the way of greatness in the kingdom of God. And Psalm 75 talks about this idea that we don't try and make ourselves strong and boast, but we actually humble ourselves before the Lord God. So at the end of there, he says, as for me, I declare this forever, I will sing praise to God. I'll humble myself before God and I will cut off the strongholds of the wicked. I will cut off the strongholds of the wicked, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up. So in other words, those who humble themselves will be lifted up. So we're going to sing Psalm 75. If you're on the songbook, we're on page 77. It's one of these ones you should pick up the tune pretty easily, and we have done this before, so hopefully you remember it from when we did it before. So Psalm 75.
God, we give you thanks, for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. At the time you set the appointed time, you will judge with equity. You will judge with equity. When the whole earth quakes and all those therein, its pillars God holds firm. Let the proud not boast, don't raise up your horn, do not speak with haughty words, do not speak with haughty words. Not from east nor west, nor from wilderness, is the lifting Yahweh's hand is a cup of wine. It is foaming and well mixed. As he pours it out, all the wicked shall drain it down unto the dregs. Drain it down unto the dregs. Ever I'll proclaim, I will sing his praise. God of Jacob, judge of all. He'll cut off the strength of the wicked ones, but the righteous he'll exalt. Yes, the righteous he'll exalt. Ever I'll proclaim, I'll sing his praise. God of Jacob, judge of all. God of Jacob, judge of all.
Let's in pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this world that you've made, but we realize that it is stained by sin. And Father, we see that in our world there's so much injustice and pain and, Father, wickedness. Father, there are people who put their nose up at you. Father, who try to exalt themselves. Father, who think that the world is about them. Father, we know that your word tells us that you will bring down such people. That your word tells us that we need to repent of our greatness and humble ourselves before you, the Almighty God. Father, we pray this morning that you might guide our hearts. Father, so often pride and greatness tries to sneak its way into our lives. And Father, we pray this morning that you'd help us to be people who serve, people who serve others, people who serve you, people who humble ourselves before you. Father, we pray that this message would go out into all the world. Lord, your word tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so we pray this morning for more workers to be sent out into your harvest field. Father, we pray that you'd be training a generation of people to go out into schools and hospitals, workplaces, onto the mission field. Father, to take forth your word so that people can know the life-giving message of the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for our training colleges, that you might keep them faithful to your word and that people would be raised up to rightly discern the word of truth and to encourage people in their walk with you. Father, we pray for our towns here, in Henty and Lockhart and surround. Father, we pray that you bless our ministries as we seek to take the gospel to those who don't know you. We pray particularly for our scripture teachers this morning. Father, we thank you for this vital ministry of young people knowing about the Lord Jesus. We pray that the things that our young people learn might stick with them and help them as they go through life. We pray for those in our jam group this morning, in our young lives, Father, as they seek direction, as they seek counsel and wisdom. Father, we pray that you might grow them in grace and godliness. Heavenly Father, we lift up before you this morning those who are struggling with health. Father, we particularly think of Robbie, and we thank you that Lockie's home from hospital. Father, you are the God who heals. Bring recovery and grace and strength, we pray. Father, for those who are just struggling with life because of circumstances, who just feel overwhelmed, who are anxious and worried, Father, we pray this morning that you might bring peace into those situations, that they might know you, the God of peace, that surpasses all understanding. Father, help us as a church to love one another, to do that genuinely, to look out for the needs of others, to support and to pray with one another. Father, that we as your church here might grow in grace and knowledge of yourself, that you might strengthen our trust in you, that we might continue to rejoice in hope, that we might be a people who have eyes of faith, not eyes of fear. Father, work in us, we pray, by your Spirit, for your glory. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage this morning is from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 to 11. Luke 14, 1 to 11. If you're in the handy church, we're on page 1047. Luke 14, 1 to 11. And Jenny's going to read that for us this morning. Thanks, Jenny.
One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and the experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. And then he asked them, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. And if so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." And then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place," and then you'll be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back." Oh, sorry, I think I should have stopped. So you will be repaid. Sorry, I went too far.
Okay, that's because I stuffed up. Sorry. Jenny, could you read verse 12, 13 and 14 as well for us?
Okay. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back and then you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous."
It's amazing when you don't put that bit on the one, how one turns into a four. But anyway, we'll get there. All right, let me pray for us. Father, we just thank you for your word. We just pray that as we journey with Jesus this morning, that you might speak into our hearts. Really challenge us, Lord. This is a challenging passage. So help us to feel the weight of this and to respond appropriately, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, at the start of 2018, it's a fair while ago now, I started taking us through a journey on the road with Jesus in Luke's gospel. And we started at Luke 9:51, where Luke says, "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem." So in the first nine chapters of Luke, Jesus has been out, he's been teaching, he's been healing, he's been proclaiming the kingdom of God, but he knew that Jerusalem was to be the main focus for him. The place where he was to go, the place where he knew he would have to die and to come back to life. And Luke says at this point in his documentation of the life of Jesus, Jesus focused or zeroed in or targeted Jerusalem and set out resolutely and with purpose to get there. So Luke, over the first nine chapters, he makes this case that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one, the Christ. But in what follows, Luke is going to show us two things. Why the Messiah matters, and what does following the Messiah look like? So when we looked at chapter 10 to 13, we saw what it means to follow Jesus. We discovered it will be costly. There'll be opposition. There'll be rejection. It will cause division. It will be hard. It'll be radical. It's not the type of thing that one would just automatically sign up to. So why would we sign up? Well, the short answer is because Jesus went through all of this to give us the glorious news for lost sinners like us. And we see a lot of that where we left off at the end of chapter 13. We read that some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Now, such a threat would be enough to make a lot of people change their actions or at least change their thinking. But not so Jesus. Remember, he was resolute in his determination to make it to Jerusalem. Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I'll reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." Jesus is committed to this work and seeing it through to completion. Jesus came to do kingdom work and will take as long as it takes. It's necessary work. It's special work. Jesus goes on. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. How often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing." Jesus' work was to save people, to bring them into his kingdom. That was his mission. He was prepared to die for people even if they rejected him, like some of his own people did. He's offering to take in anyone who will come to him, and he showed it by laying down his life for them. So that's where we left off. And we're going to pick up the journey in chapter 14. And for the next few weeks, we're going to start where Jesus goes into the house of a prominent Pharisee whom we have no detail about. And what we see, or what we're going to get over the next 24 verses, is a meal narrative. Jesus teaching in the context of a meal. But while the meal is going on, there's some eyes watching Jesus' every move. Now, in our passage before us, we have a meal with an entree, and then we kind of have the main meal. And this entree surrounds this man who was there with dropsy. Now, what's dropsy, you may ask? Is it a term we give to someone who kind of keeps dropping things? Well, no. Dropsy is an old term used for the swelling of soft tissue due to the accumulation normally of sort of excess water. We know it today as edema or fluid retention or swelling. It's not a nice thing. And it's usually associated with some sort of underlying health condition. Anyway, here's this man. And Jesus turns around and he says, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" Score one to Jesus. Luke says these Pharisees were carefully watching Jesus. And so such a question had them now backed into a corner. Because if they said, yes, it's lawful, they would seem to be soft and hypocritical on the stringent rules they had on Sabbath observance. But if they said no, they'd be accused of being inhumane and uncaring about human suffering. It's one thing to condemn Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. It's another to step up and take responsibility for denying recovery of a needy person. So what did they do? What did the Pharisees do? Anything they could do? They remained silent. What did Jesus do? He healed the man. Jesus healed the man out of this compassion and concern. And then as we read in verse 5, he asked them, "If one of you has a son or an ox and it falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" And they had nothing to say. Of course they had nothing to say. In their documentation called the Mishnah, and had rules and regulations that stated they were not allowed to rescue their animals on the Sabbath. So to forbid the deliverance of humans, that would mean that they treated their animals better than they treated humans. The Pharisees, they had real problems. And it's evident to all to see. They were ensnared by these inconsistencies in their laws. Their attitudes towards law prevented them from showing mercy and kindness and grace that God required. They had turned things into being all about themselves. And Jesus needed to address this attitude to show them how far they had strayed. And so Jesus is going to do this by showing them how to be a good dinner guest with two very important tips. Tip number one, understand where to seat yourself. Understand where to seat yourself. Now, being good students of the Old Testament, the Pharisees would have been familiar with Proverbs 25, 6 and 7, which we read this morning. Proverbs says, do not exalt yourself in the king's presence and do not claim a place among great men. It's better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman. They should have understood this. But Jesus underscores the point by saying the same thing in a different way. Jesus says in verse 8, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. And if so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. And then humiliated, you have to take the least important place. So just picture that for a minute. You're the guest. You arrive early. You survey all the options of where to seat, and you choose the prominent place in the room. And everybody then who walks into the room has now got their eyes upon you. You must be someone special. You've won the respect of others. And then suddenly, the host is over you, asking you to move down to the obscure seat. Now everybody is looking at you. All the wrong reasons, nowhere to hide. It's embarrassing. Instead, Jesus says, when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. So is the principle here that when we go to banquets, we should take the less honorable seat? Well, normally at special banquets, you're allocated your seat already. So how does this actually apply to us? Well, Jesus explains the principle in verse 11. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Or as one of my old camp leaders used to say, if you're not humble, you will crumble. If you're not humble, you will crumble. Jesus was not teaching this as a way for people to avoid embarrassment or to try and put on staged humility. Rather, he was teaching against the pride that pretends to be humble. And don't we need to hear that? Listen to the professional athletes, or the politicians, or the business executives. It's all about them, isn't it? Don't we loathe the proud crawling all over others? But deep inside each of us, subtly, don't we go after pride as well? We try to gain honor by trying not to appear that that's actually what we're doing. We decline in others while subtly pursuing it ourselves. A couple of weeks ago in our men's Bible study, we looked at the book of Obadiah, the prophet Obadiah, the shortest book in the Old Testament. And the key verse of the book is verse 3, where he says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Obadiah was preaching against the nation of Edom. Let me read from verse 3. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home in the heights, who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? Though you soar like the eagle, make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. Eden took pride in this lofty position in the hills, and they believed that no military might could bring them down. But God promised to do it, and guess what? He did. Pride's a terrible thing that we all need to be conscious of. Pride comes to the surface anytime we step in front of someone who wants what we want. When we rejoice in the downfall of a rival, when we constantly reflect on our reputation and we exaggerate our achievements. No, says Jesus. Instead, learn that the way up is down and the way down is up. And not only is pride sinful, it actually doesn't satisfy. We crave something and then we get it. And what happens? We're not satisfied and we just crave it some more. On to dinner tip number 2. Be a good dinner host. Be a good dinner host. And that has to do with who you invite. Verse 12, Jesus said to his host, when you give a lunch or dinner, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they might invite you back and so you'll be repaid, says Jesus. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So is Jesus saying we can't have a dinner party with our family and our friends? Well, no. What he's against is limiting the guest list to family and friends who can repay us with a reciprocal dinner. In other words, I'll invite this person because I know at some point I'll get the invite back. Reciprocation becomes the primary goal, which is a symptom of the disease of self-focus. So who do we invite? The people who, for one reason or another, not in a position to invite you back. The poor, who have no money. The crippled, the lame, and the blind, who would struggle to cook a meal for you. They're the people we need to humble ourselves towards and show them God's generosity. Again, Jesus is saying, the way up is down. Now, interestingly, Jesus says that when we take such actions, we will be blessed. And every time Amy and I, we invite someone around for a meal, we are blessed. And we pray that our guests will be blessed too. There's something about giving generously and freely to others which makes you feel blessed. And Jesus actually says, although they won't repay you, you will be repaid. When? At the resurrection of the righteous, the fantastic day that is coming. So Jesus is clearly hitting hard here, and there's a challenge for all of us. He's calling out the proud, the social climbers, the status seekers, those with half-baked motives, and saying, you want to follow me? Repent of your pride. If you want to continue in this way, you're in danger of missing the kingdom of God. This is not the behavior of people in the kingdom of God. A social life is not kingdom life at all. So where do we learn to live and to love with this kind of humility? Well, we see no better example of that than in the Lord Jesus, the one who took on the lowest place anyone could ever go, but was then exalted to the highest place in glory. So Paul puts in Philippians 2, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus was humiliated in the extreme. He came down from heaven. He took on the human nature. That was humbling. But then he was humiliated on a cross where he bled and died for the salvation of sinners. He died this painful and shameful death to purchase forgiveness. Paul goes on, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the names above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Humiliated in death, Jesus was exalted and glorified in resurrection. It's exactly as Jesus himself said in our passage in verse 11. And everyone who humbles themselves before Jesus will be raised to life in the resurrection of the righteous. So while we wait for that day, we need to take hold of Paul's words when he says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." That's hard. Self-interest always comes to the fore, but in God's strength, we can stay humble. We can look out for others, and it all starts by looking at the example of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you might help us to look to Jesus, to look to his example of humility as the example that we want to follow. Father, it is hard to humble ourselves. Our natural instinct is to puff ourselves up with pride. But we pray that you might help us by your Spirit to humble ourselves, to consider others better than ourselves, to learn to love, to learn to serve, just as your Son did for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with a familiar song, which reflects a lot of our themes for this morning, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." Now, if you're on the songbook, we're on page number 11, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us."
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Reward, I cannot give an answer.
and I'll pronounce the benediction. And then from the Handy Church, we have some morning tea over in the hall. Minor two, there's a little box at the back if you'd like to make a contribution to the work of the Lord. If you'd like to drop something in there, that'd be great. Or you can give electronically as well, and the details are in the email. In Luke 9:46, we read that an argument started amongst the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took the little child and made him stand beside him. And he said to them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you all, he is the greatest." May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.